opportunity to introduce a very, very important point about the Gedolei HaRishonim. I've done Shnei Mochsen a couple times before, once as a Talmud and once as a Rebbe, and always in my mind, the Tosos stuck out a lot more clearly than the Rush. This Rush is not an easy Rush. So first of all, it's a lesson in Amelus, and that's okay that if you don't understand everything, that's okay. As long as you're working hard, that's the most important thing. And will become a lot clearer as time goes on. It'll become clear the second time around. I remember the Rush the first time around was very, very vague for me. The second time, a little bit less vague. And the third time, a little bit less vague. But still, this Rush is hard. Why do I say it's talking about Rishonim? Because I think methodologically we're about to be introduced to a Rishon who is also a Bali Tosas. We have a Tosas HaRush. And it could very well be the most important Rishon in Ashkenaz and the awesomeness of the Rush. I'll introduce the awesomeness of the Rush with describing something that Reb Chaim Volozhiner has in the back of the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. They collect. Reb Chaim Volozhiner was the architect of all of yeshivas today. I'll explain what that means in another instance. Maybe 5 o'clock we'll have a shir in Nefesh HaChaim for Shana Aleph guys. Anybody else wants to join, could join one way or the other. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes that he was asked how to do Chazara on a Masechta. Now, he's not talking about a Chazara on your Shana Aleph Masechta. He's talking about someone who learned in Yeshivas Volozhin for 7 or 8 years. We're talking about the cream of the crop of Europe at that time. You're the cream of the crop of American modern Orthodoxy. But Volozhin was talking about to a different type of Talmud, and he says that he says that you should chazer Gemara twice and rush 7 times. What's the omek of Reb Chaim Volozhiner? Why was he saying that? Because in terms of knowing a Masechta and having a sense of the implication of the Masechta la'halacha, particularly in Ashkenaz, there's nothing like the Rush. What the Rush did is the Rush took all of the Maseches and he summarized all of the halachos and summarized all the important diyunim and the Gaonim and the Rishonim that existed up until that time. And he was the first one to be Masadarit for Halacha in Ashkenaz, who, of course, beat him to it. Was what Rabbeinu Shlita say to Chacham Avadia Zatzal, that he got one of his hardest slaps from Chacham Avadia? Was he said that God is Sfardi? Chacham Avadia liked that very much. So so who's the one who did it before? And the Sfaradim always do things right, and us Ashkenazim eventually we'll learn how to copy if we're smart. So one of the things that is the Rif. The Rif was the first one who did it, but the Rush did it in Ashkenaz. Now the Rush is a beautiful, beautiful Rishon. In this case, that introduction is very, very important to understand of what's going on over here in this Rush. The reason why the Rush is, even though he starts out dealing with the same question as Tosos, is much more difficult than Tosos. It should be harder. If it wasn't harder for you, then it must be that you were missing something. Why? Can anybody tell me why this Rush was harder? Anybody have a sense of what I'm driving at? Why is the Rush harder than Tosos? Now Tosos wasn't easy. Tosos for sure wasn't easy. You had to ask, was V'chein B'man HaShlishi and so on. But why is this Rush harder? Yes, Daniel?
Maybe one reason is that he tries to fit everything into general rules and categories.
He's trying to fit into general rules and categories and deal with every sugya that's relevant. Tosos says to himself, you know what? You know exactly B'man HaShlishi and Ani Aratia. I'll get there. Right? You know, a lot of times somebody asks me, what about Tzumchus? So I said, well, we'll get there. We'll deal with that. Most Magidei Shiurim in Iyun, looking for a precedent, they'll follow the Bali Tosas' approach. They'll deal with a basic question, and they'll focus on that particular question. The Rush is not satisfied. And by the way, this is the difference between someone knowing and learning and someone being able to be a psak, a posek halacha. Just yesterday, someone called me up about, now a polemic begins, but it's on my mind, so I didn't intend to say this, but you know what? This is an appropriate instance to say it. Someone called me up that there are women today who I think it's a fantastic, fantastic thing, who are learning about Hilchos Nida to be able to advise women to help them out, because there are women who are embarrassed, understandably so, sometimes, to go to Rabbanim and ask questions. So there are women who are learning and getting a basic background to be able to help those women. Now, once upon a time, Rabbi Willick said beautifully, once upon a time, that was the Rebbetzin. My wife knows Hilchos Nida better than most guys who are sitting and learning Kol. She's a Kala teacher, and after years of people calling every once in a while and asking questions, she's very familiar to be able to know when there's a Shiloh, when not. But my wife has never, ever, ever attempted to answer a Shiloh. Why not? She learned as a Kala teacher, she learned all the appropriate sources, and even if a person learns more than my wife did, someone opens up the Svarim and reads the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramban, the Pisrei Tshuva, and reads Rabbi Forrest's book in Hilchos Nida, that is not the same level. It's nothing close to the level of Hora'ah. The Darga of Hora'ah is a Darga that's very, very high. Hora'ah is there are many parts of Hora'ah. I can't talk about that today because that's not my agenda. It's a whole shiur in of itself. What is Hora'ah? But for our purposes, the Rosh has the responsibility in passing the halacha of taking account everything that's taken place from the Mishnah, from the Psukim, all the way through the Rishonim, the contemporary times, and he has to be aware of all of it and be able to be machriya. So therefore, Tosos, his agenda is much more modest than the Rosh's agenda. In the sense that Tosos is awesome, and Tosos is a giant, the Bali Tosos are giants. But the Rosh is doing something different. The Rosh has to take into account everything when he gives his klalim. And therefore, someone told me last night that there was a woman who's like this, who paskin the shayla. That's awful. She should give it. She could be able to give advice. She could be able to. She'd be able to refer and say when it's a shayla, when not. But a person, a woman, an intelligent, a highly intelligent person that studied Hilchos Nida for 2 years, that's not called Hora. Just like a guy who's learned in Kolel, who just learned for 2 years, and he's 24 years old, and he learned Hilchos Shabbos, he learned Hilchos Nida, he's not Ra'i La'ora. You need somebody who's been sitting and learning for 30, 40, 50 years to be Ra'i La'ora. Anyhow, the two topics are connected. And it just happened last night. Someone called me up. They were very concerned. Anyhow, that's what's on my mind. So that's the awesomeness of the Rosh. The Rosh was Ra'ui La'ira, and therefore the Rosh has to be taken account. That's what makes the Rosh much more difficult than the Bali Tosis. The Bali Tosis is dealing with one particular question, and the Rosh is dealing with many, many, many more. Okay. Obviously, there are other issues that revolve around what I just brought up today, that I just touched on one of the problems, and there are other issues as well, but we're here to learn Gemara now. Okay. Says the Rosh, Shnayim Ochsim Betala, Zeh Omer Ani Mitzasiyah, V'Zeh Omer Ani Mitzasiyah. Ubamakum Shisha Motza, Kigon Be'ir Sheruva Kusin. So I spoke with Rav Tenenbaum, what Rav Tenenbaum was driving at in this first line, I mixed up the Zilber. Rav Yashiv's son-in-law was Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, and then there's a very big, fantastic Magid Shir, Rav Michal Zilber, he said this, Rav Tenenbaum, I'm amazed. I try to do Daf Yomi. I'm amazed. Michal Zilber said this in a Daf Yomi Shir. Talk about different madrigas of Daf Yomi Shir. Michal Zilber said this in the Daf Yomi Shir. He said the following. He said, the Ran asks the question we just mentioned a few days ago, that the Ran asks, why do we start with Shnayim Ochsim Betalis? We should start with Elu Metzias. So, Rav Michal Zilber quoted this in the Daf Yomi Shir, and he said, the Rosh answered that question in this one line. How did the Rosh answer this question? Can anybody try? Yeah, go ahead.
Because if it's non-Jews, then you wouldn't have to try to find...
But how does it answer? Good. That's the first step. Excellent. But how does it answer the Kasha? Good, you're right. But how did it answer the question? Yes, Daniel?
First, it has to be Bechlal and Metzia in order to then discuss the Dinim.
Correct. And I'll add a little bit more. I did a quick check in the Mishnah Yisrael Metzias. Tell me if I'm right. The Mishnah Yisrael Metzias don't tell us the Halacha of Avedas Akh. Is that correct? I hope so. That's the only way it makes sense to me. So Rav Michal Zilber said like this. Rav Michal Zilber said that that's the end. The Rosh was answering the Ran's question. The only reason why you would learn Elu Metzias first if those halachas were relevant. But Avedas Akum doesn't even appear in Eilu Metzias. And the Rosh is saying, Ubimakom Sheishal Motzah Kigom Beir Sherov Kusim. So it's not relevant. Eilu Metzias, that's how the Rosh, here you see, if it's correct, you see also the awesomeness of the Rosh, that he's also along the way in his Psakim, he's also answering the Kashup. I was just talking with one of the Avreichim. It's a big problem in the yeshivas. They don't learn Rosh enough. And Rosh is such a gateway. And there's a big problem today in the yeshivas that they don't learn halacha. One of the ways of solving that problem is learning Rosh well. If a person learns Rosh well, then they'll be... Rosh is Iyun Gomer. It's a problem today. Okay. Ubamakim shisha motzik go v'ir shiru v'kusim zelmer kula shili zelmer kula shili. Zeh yishav ha-shein lo ba-pachas v'chetzi zeh yishav ha-shein lo ba-pachas v'chetzi v'yachyogu. The kivan the shneim ba'lefanenu muchzokim b'guf ha-talis. Anutzrichim lifsog luhu din ha-chalukah. Since both of them come in front of us, muchzokim, you have to give the din ha-chalukah. Kol davar shan ron biyad adam, chashvin alay shu shalo. Anything that you see in somebody's hand, we consider it his. Afalpi sha'acher ma'arer v'omer shaliyu. Even though somebody else comes and protests and says it belongs to me. So we left off with a tzarech iyun. Why does the Rosh quote Nascha de Rabbi Abba while the Balei Tosfos don't quote Nascha de Rabbi Abba? Do anybody have a suggestion from yesterday? Yes, Josh?
I have a question. What is the tzarech iyun?
What's what do the words mean? Tzarech iyun means that it requires inquiry. Yeah, David?
Because according to the Rosh, it's like a suffix, he's not sure whether, for sure, which one it belongs to, therefore we need the case of Nisqa to show, to clarify the suffix.
You're saying good, but I want to challenge if you really understand what you're saying. You're saying good.
Yeah.
But now, before I go on the offensive...
Well, this is an Ansari, he knows for sure.
I understand. I understand. Good. What you're saying is good. Yeah. So, with that Hanacha, now I'm going to go on the offensive. But at the end of the day, by Nascha de Rabbi Abba, it for sure belongs to you too. So this is a classic case where you said something intelligent, but you didn't think through out of self what you were saying. Good. It's a start. Good. Yes, Yonatan?
That when the Rosh brings this case to Rabbi Abba, the only thing he's proving from it is that you're muchzak something. So Tosfos doesn't need to bring this case.
Let's put together what David and Yonatan say. Yonatan also answered what I just asked you as well. Good, beautiful. What, according to Tosfos, what's the reason Shnayim Mochzim Metalos we say Yachloku? No, let's say the sharpest formulation, Tosfos, and to the point of Tosfos that we pointed out yesterday. This comes back to Tzarech Iyun of yesterday. That when each one is being Tofes, according to Tosfos, right, we point out the Rosh never used the Lashon Tosfos. So then in such a case, according to Tosfos, let's go with pshat number one, which is our favorite pshat, despite its difficulties, that there's Tofsin, so therefore it belongs to each one bivadai. It's the Rosh. So according to Tosfos, before we go to the Rosh, according to Tosfos, the reason why we say Yachloku is explained enough in Bava Metzia Daf Beis and Bava Metzia Daf Gimel. What do I mean that's explained in Bava Metzia Daf Gimel? Who knows what I'm referring to? That's explained in Bava Metzia Daf... Yes, Josh? Beautiful. Because the Gemara said that Anan Sadi, that what he is holding on to is his. So according to Tosfos, the way Tosfos understood Anan Sadi, maybe the Rosh understood like your problem, Shimon. He's bothered by maybe your question. But the way Tosfos understood Anan Sahadi, so then, according to the Balei Tesis, all you need is the reality that each one is holding on to half. What Rabbi Chanan called, Chazaka Kamashitachas Yad Adam Areyu Shalom. The Rosh, as we were Medayek, never used the words Tfisa. It doesn't sound like anywhere that the Rosh is taking Tosfos' approach. V'yoser mizeh, who could show me, I know we're not there yet, but who could show me within the Rosh that he doesn't take Tosfos' approach? Especially Mahalach number one in the Tosfos. Yes, Shimon?
Because he says that if there's a case when you know for sure that they're lying, you could still be splitting it.
Good. I hear where you're going, but that's not what I'm looking for now. I'm looking for something. Here's a great example where Viola spoke about this morning. I'm looking for something specific in the words, not a svara, but in the words, black on white, which seem to be against Tosfos. And this is something that I think you never trained yourself to do, that you need to train yourselves to do. To notice these things, what I'm about to point out. And it's obvious. The moment you see it, you'll say, of course. But you never trained yourself to look to learn this way. Yes, Yisrael?
The Slammer says,
that's what Shimon was driving at. Anything else? That's not what I'm referring to. Where in the rush do you see that he's not learning that the Tfisa is that each one is mamish holding on to him? Maybe so. Maybe you won't agree with me. I'm not claiming that I'm sure that I'm right. Yeah, Josh.
Maybe the part where he says, "Kol Adam Rishonim Roin Biyar Adam Tashvina Leishim Shalom."
So that's not going to help me. How's that going to help me? If anything, that will hurt me.
No, because you could say
that might be like Tosis. No, that might be like Tosis.
Because maybe he's referring to the whole thing. I guess it would depend on how you translate
so,
that.
So bottom line is that there's no riot. There's no riot. From those words. There's a part in the Rosh that's even more explicit. I'm surprised that no one here noticed it. I expected two or three guys to notice. Didn't expect no one to notice. Okay, you see by the Aleph a couple lines down. By me there's a period. Aval Hacha, the Aleph that corresponds to the Pulpula Charifta. Aval Hacha Dishneyem Muchzakim Begufatalis. The Rosh never said that each one is holding on to half. The Rosh says, Shneyem muchzakim begufa talis. Each one is muchzak on the talis. Who did we see it in terms of a different formulation of Tosfos? We saw the Ran. That the Ran said that each one is holding on to the whole talis. Right? You have everything and you don't have anything. So the Rosh seems to be talking about having everything. So that's going to fit into the idea that the Rosh and Tesis are different. That the Rosh is saying that doesn't emphasize Tfisa. The Rosh says Shnei Muchzakim Beguf HaTalis. Those are two observations we're making in the Rosh. An observation within the Bali Tesis is that number one, the Bali Tesis say that there is an Anan Sahadi. And observation number two is the Bali Tosfos use the lashon of tfisa, and according to Rav Elchanan Vasserman, that means chazakah shatachas yad adam areyu shelo. Based on this, now could someone speculate why Tosfos did not need nascha the Rabbi Abba, while the Rosh does need nascha the Rabbi Abba? Yeah.
Because by nascha the Rabbi Abba, there's no splitting of it. It's either mine or it's yours. So when Tosfos holds it, it's more than a chetzi chetzi. It's almost like a half owner. But the Rosh is saying, if someone has the entire thing, so you need nascha the Rabbi Abba to show them.
So okay, so you're on the right track. Maybe let's read a little bit more, Josh. The Rosh is now bothered by a different question than the Bali Tosfos. According to the Bali Tosfos, the way we were, as we explained up until now, once you had that, said that there was a non sadi my talis di day, so then you've got the whole picture, and you got the talis divided. But according to the Rosh, you don't have the whole picture over here. According to the Rosh, we still don't know why you're going to say yachlok. Because the Rosh did not say that there's a tfisa on each half. Oh, so why do you say yachlok? So now we have to read the Rosh more carefully and then explain why Nascha de Rabbi Abba. So what I've explained is why Tesis doesn't need Nascha de Rabbi Abba. And now we have to see how the Rosh is going to use Nascha de Rabbi Abba to explain Yachloku. Let's continue on. Kidamrina Gabi Nascha de Rabbi Abba, the Chashvina Le Gazlan. Everybody knows the case, the silver that he admits that he grabbed. Afagav, even though he cries out and says, Damer didi chatvi, Hilkach, I efshalivsog, din called all in gavar kidamin mekhaskus avadim gavi arva who am do am do khin zamar shal wasa mish wasa da hasam shani she ein akum em mukhsak bidavar shma arin ala. There it's different because no one is mukhsak bidavar ve ein bezem khuyav lim khasam mish balika davar shein on yodin shel miu fu omer shalo hilkach ein roy lifsak len din khaluka shema nafsi le'echon me'en shalo kedin. So what's the Rosh's answer to why is it that sometimes we say kol dolim gavar and sometimes we say yachloku, and then we'll go back to what his proof is from Naskh of the Rabbi Abba. What's the answer to that question? Yes, go ahead, Nate. Yeah.
The reason why we would say by yachloku is when they're both grabbing onto it, you can't snatch it out of the other person's hand because then you're mamash gaza, of course, it is. But in a case where only one of them's holding onto it, so in that case you wouldn't do by yachloku, rather you do kol adol.
Where do you have a case? Good. What you're saying is good. Where do you have a case? I just want to correct something you said was not correct. You have a case where somebody's holding onto one of them. One of them's holding on to it?
No, one of them. No, sorry, you have
in contrast.
I apologize, but both of them are holding on
to it. Both holding on to it. There you can
rip it out of each other's hands.
And in contrast to
a case where only one of them's holding on to it.
You said one. The case of where only one of them is holding on to it. Where's that case where only one of them's holding on to it?
In this case, in this case.
In Naskha the Rabbi Abba,
it's a case where only.
But that's not what the Rush is bothered by. The Rush is not bothered by what's the difference between Naskha the Rabbi Abba and Shnayim Osim Batalis. The Rush is bothered what's the difference between Arva and Shnayim Osim Batalis.
What about the case of Arva? I apologize. No one's holding on to it.
No, that's what you mean to say. By Arva, no one's holding on to it. And since by Arva, no one's holding on to it, so then in such a case, we're not going to say Yachloku. So Rabosai, the answer to when we say Kol Dolim Gavar according to the Rush is what? The answer is where there's no mukhsak. Where there's no mukhzakim. But notice, Tosis also agrees with that. But Tosis is a different world than the Rush. Why is Tosis a different world? Because Tosis said that the reason why is because they were Tofes. What's the Rush's criteria? It sounds like, according to the Rush, that we can't say kol dolim gavar because we can't take out, what are his exact words? The Rush's exact words are the word gazlan. I was looking, Nate, you threw me. Oh no, he does lose the words gazlan in the beginning. No, but that's for Naskha the Rabbi Abba. So let's leave the word Gazlan out, even though he's going to use it later on. Hilkach ein roy lifsaten du chaluka shema nafsi lechem and shalokidin. We're afraid that one of them is going to lose out shalokidin. Nafsi lechem and shalokidin. Now here, some of you guys saw me going in this direction yesterday, even though I don't recall saying this explicitly. If I was just reading this Rush in a vacuum, it would seem to me, ulai, that the Rush, as he's about to explain the advantages of kol dolim gavar, which we spelled out yesterday, that the Rush really wants to do kol dolim gavar. Because he believes at the end of the day, the best man will win. It's more likely. He wants a winner. He wants the rightful owner to get it back. Here's the quandary of Yachloku. The Rush points out that Yachloku is not ideal. Why? Because for sure, you're not giving the rightful owner everything. If there's a rightful owner, which the odds are there is one owner, what are the odds that are really, really their partners? It's chaluka yichol alios emes. But this one said he found, this one said he found it. It was in a city of Kusim. The odds are it belongs to one of them. Says the Rosh, if we're going to use the idea of Kol Da'alim Gavar, and I really trust that Kol Da'alim Gavar is going to really reveal the right owner, so then that's better than Yachloku. However, in this case, each fellow is muchzuk in it. And then Bezdin cannot be mafsid. Shema nafsid le'echame and shalokidin. Bezdin cannot be mafsid the other. And then the Rosh gives a reason. Yosef, right? Lamed the call. Shemi shem skabi yodu b'kach. Over Raya's she yitzkev some chenal zeh. Shemi shein imo karv liyavi. Raya's v'od. Shemi shadin imo mos nashul hamne shelo b'yodu. Yosef mash mos es nashul es han ha'acher nashul ligzal. He's more likely to fight out. V'ol yomer zeh ma betza she emser nashiv v'yomo l'machar yavi raya v'yotzianu miyadi. And the guy is also going to have another cheshbon. He's going to say, I'm going to work so hard, then the guy's going to find proof that doesn't belong to me. So arva is a nice approach. Avol hacha, dishnei muchzakim gufatalis. And here, by the way, Nate, you're right. In this formulation, Nate, he uses the gzela. Anu muchuyavin limchos. We have to be moche. In other words, we can't allow one person to pull out from the other. Shelo yigzal echad eschaveiro, because that's considered stealing. Based on what? Based on the rule of Nascha de Rabbi Abba. Hilkach imayinu poskim lam kol da'ava gavar echamein hayigayzal mashabiyat chaveiro. If we're going to allow kol da'alim gavar and allow one of them to pull out from the other, so then that's going to be a problem of gezela because of Nascha de Rabbi Abba. And therefore, what we have to do is passing Yachloku. Comes along Yosef Sheldon, Freddie, in the back, and he says like this. He says, it's very interesting. We pointed out that the Rosh used the Lashon Hilkach four times. When it comes to Yachloku, so there he says, Hilkach anu tzrichin, we're forced. Anu tzrichin lifsak len chaluka. We're forced to do Yachloku. Yet above, what did the Rosh say? What was his Hilchach above? The Rosh's Hilchach above? Ein roi lifsak landin chaluka. Both of those seem to indicate that Kol Da'alim Gavar, according to this Rosh, is the ideal. And then we have, but you can't, you're stuck. You can't do Yachloku because of Nascha de Rabbi Abba. And yes, once you have Nascha de Rabbi Abba, then there's going to be a din of a gazlon. So what's the? It's clear that there's a machlokes between the Taisus and the Rosh. The machlokes between the Taisus and the Rosh is the following: according to Taisus, each one is holding on to a vaday a half, and I don't need any of the whole problems that come from Nascha de Rabbi Abba. Why you can't take it out from his rishos? No, it's anan sadi. Notice, the Rosh never used the Nansadi. Maybe the Rosh is bothered by Shimon's question. In contrast to Tosos, the Rosh says, each one is muchzik on the whole Talus. Why is he saying it that way? Because he doesn't understand that Nansadi gives to each one half. And therefore, the Din Yachloku is, we're stuck, and we can't allow anything else except for Yachloku. Not because there's an ansad, it's a muhzik in the general talus, and we're stuck. And the only solution we have a muhzik is a yachlok. Good? Good, Yehuda?
Rabbi?
Yes.
So that the Rosh is trying to fit the Kol Da'alim Gavar into our case, but he also tries to fit our case into the Kol Da'alim Gavar.
So I don't know what that means.
He tries to see if yachlok will
for
work.
Sure.
So maybe trying to use as the main.
I explained why in the Lashon the Rosh is not doing that. In the words, from the Hilchachs and from the fact that he said that you can't do Kol Da'alim Gavar because then you're going to be doing Zela based on the rules of Nascha de Rabbi Abba. Now if you respond to me in the words, then maybe I'll change my mind. But in Svara you could be doing anything. The question is, what's the words of the Rosh? I'm not arguing in Svar, I'm arguing in the words. This is not philosophy. It's not philosophy. That I think that this is the Rosh's philosophy. I'm trying to be magdir halachically what's going on in the word. And this is a geshmaka l'shitaso in terms of the Rosh's formulation that he doesn't mention tfisa. By the way, for this I'm indebted to Moshe's unintentional slip, because from my notes last time I already developed the walls heard 7 years ago, heard this idea that the Rosh talks about muchzik beguf hatalis versus tells that speaks about the anan sadi and the chatzi talis. But what I didn't notice, what I don't have in the notes, I don't think I noticed last time, is that the Rosh doesn't say tvisa. So Moshe forced me to re-examine that, and that I think that that's also a very important point as well. It's an entirely different take. Now, the Rosh then is dealing with another issue, and that is this idea of the chalukah being necessary, and that begs beloshen ulai v'ulai. I'm not sure at all. I'm 10% sure. I would have said 50% sure until I saw the Tshuva Sarash. But I'm 10% sure now. But this is important to notice, even though I'm not sure about, that the Rosh seems to be like Yosef was saying. That the Rosh wants to ideally do Kol Dolim Gavar, and Yachloku almost becomes a Bidyev. Now I say this Beloshen Ulai because I'm not 100% convinced about it for a few different reasons. And we'll get to a Tshuva Sarash maybe as well as far as that goes. Yes?
How does the Rosh use
Nascha
to...
Rabosai, answer the question. What is the Rosh's purpose of bringing Nascha to Rabbi Abba? And then why is Tosis not needed? Yes, Naftali?
Because in that case, we said, even though the guy claims, oh, he stole from me, we said that since he's holding it, it's his, right?
Once Nascha to Rabbi Abba shows me that once it's he's holding it, halachically we view it as the first guy's, even if we have no previous information. Now I know Rabbi Chanan is lurking in the back of your head, but leave Rabbi Chanan for a second. With no previous information, we know that la halacha, we leave it by the first guy. If halacha says that, then we as Beis Din cannot be motzi it from him, even though it seems, in this Belashan Ulai, that ideally the Rosh would have wanted to. But we can't. Why? So number one, if we're doing it by Nascha de Rabbi Abba, this I'm putting in parentheses, in brackets. If you don't follow this, that's fine. Number one, by Nascha de Rabbi Abba, the Rosh said that you're going to be a Gazlan. And number two, the Rosh said, is how do we know that we're taking it out of the guilty guy's hands? Maybe we're taking it out of the hands of the guy who's entitled. Okay.
What do you mean by holding it? You mean that the one who has rights to it?
Nascha the Rabbi Abba, all we know is that there was one guy who was holding on to it. We have no idea whether he is right.
The one who the aid said that he stole it from.
Correct. The Nigzav.
So it's
the Nechtav.
But it's not the Nechtav, it goes to the one who the aid says.
No. The halacha is that it goes back to the first guy, the Nechtav, in Nascha the Rabbi Abba.
That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes back to the guy. Let's continue on, Rabosai. Okay. The lav dafka. Everybody has it? The lav dafka? Izzy, you want to read from there? The lav dafka? By the way, let me advise you, for those who are sitting in the arch, that's a deadly zone. Because that's the place that I'm most likely to call on people to read from. Not because I have anything against the guys who are sitting in the arch. Yehuda and David are breathing a sigh of relief right in front. So the reason is because the guys in the back, this way they're more likely to be able to hear. So that's, okay, so you're forewarned. Okay, Adam, forewarned? Good. Go ahead, Izzy, go ahead. V'lav dafka.
V'lav dafka of the seal, who back up the memo card, did not get beaten with their viety. Beaten with their viety. I'm not sure if it's going better.
Yes.
And it's not specifically, we're not only specifically talking about a case of Metzia or a case of Mekachu Memkar where the storekeeper took the zuzi from both of them, and you're able to say that it actually belongs to both of them. In other words, that the chaluka could, the chaluka, it is possible that it's truthful. Ela'af Mekachu Memkar did not get zuzi mechad minai. Rather, even in the case of Mekach HaMemkar, where the storekeeper took a zuze from one of them, and we definitely know that it only belongs to one guy, but they're still arguing over it.
Okay, so let's spell out this case. It's not such a clear case. Mekach HaMemkar, what's the case of Mekach HaMemkar? So Reuven is a merchant and he sold to Shimon and Levi. Presumably Shimon, this is how you learned, help me out. Shimon and Levi both come into, are both holding on to Talis, and each one says, I paid for it and it's mine. Reuven knows that he sold it, but he doesn't remember whether he sold it to Shimon or to Levi. So then in such a case, what's halacha going to be? I'm going to say Yachloku. Now this highlights the problem of Yachloku, right? Because at the end of the day, it's not likely that the storekeeper really got payment from both of them, right? And what are the odds? The odds are is that someone over here is a liar. But nevertheless, we have to say Yachloku, says the Rush. Why? Because if we're going to take it out of one of their hands and say Kol Dolim Gavar, then you have all the problems that we had above. If the Halacha views them as a Gazlan, the Bezdin cannot act as a Gazlan as well. Okay. It's a second. Continue a little more. And, oh, go ahead. Araktia means that I wove it. What happens if you have two people? Each one says I wove it. Adds the rush, then there's a vadai ramai, because only one person could weave a talis. Could very well be that the reason it's vadai is because each person weaves a little differently. It would be obvious if it was woven by both of them. So then in such a case, there's a vadai ramai. Nevertheless, we still say yachloku. Okay. Rabbosai, we are going to discuss in detail Shitas Rashi, Yirtzeh Hashem. However, I'm just going to take out of context Rashi. Let's take a look at the Rashi on the bottom of the Yomud, on Beis Amin Aleph, that black on white disagrees with the Rush. The truth is, this Rashi is a collector's item, because Rashi is doing something that's not characteristic of Rashi to do. Says Rashi, six lines from the bottom on Beis Amin Aleph, Avol zeh omer ani arektir, zeh omer ani arektir, lo yachloku. So Rashi does something amazing. Now again, we're not learning Rashi properly, because we don't learn Rashi like the Rush as a posek. We learn Rashi as a mafarish. So here we're not addressing why Rashi says this as a mafarish, but Rashi and probably the Rush, and this is why again comes back to awesomeness of the Rush, that the Rush knows this Rashi and feels it necessary to in this discussion, even though Rashi waited a whole amud, the Rush immediately, because he's got to put everything together, the Rush immediately comes along and disagrees with Rashi. And he says that even though it's certain that one of them is a liar, nevertheless, the halacha is going to be achloku. And Rashi says no. Rashi says when one of them, when there's a vadai ramai, so we say yemunach ad sheyavo Eliyo. Now we're going to develop the Mirtzeh Hashem Rashi Shita for Zocha to learn well. I very much want to, but we're not learning. We haven't done Rashi yet in any coherent way. Rashi's actually just saw before Shir Nachlas David says that Rashi is difficult in our sugya to develop a coherent Shita, and Rashi is harder than both in the Rush and Tosas. So that's why I've been one of the reasons I've been leaving Rashi for now. When we learn Gemara, we'll take a totally different approach. Gemara will almost always first start with Rashi. Adam and Yosef know that that's how we work. But in this case, since we haven't started Gemara, so we haven't really learned in the standard order of things. Happens to be, in developing Shitas, Rashi here is difficult. Could anybody tell me why the Rush would Lishitaso disagree with Rashi? Why could the Rush not hold like Rashi? Why could the Rush not hold by like Rashi? Tell me. Can you tell me why? Yeah.
I think maybe because the Rush holds. The Rush isn't concerned with the Ramai. Like he said, we specifically.
Tell me what the Rush is concerned about.
He's concerned if we're able to say that it belongs to both of us.
That's true.
That's true.
The Rush is concerned that it should belong to both of them. That is true. There's something else that's even more important over here. That's not the oomph of why the Rosh has to hold this way. Yes, Moshe?
Because then we'd be taking from one of them and looking at it, if we would say.
Exactly. The Rosh just got through saying that whenever you have two people muchzik on something, so then in such a case you're stuck. You're going to be stuck. Beis Din is stuck. Beis Din cannot take it out of their rishus. What happens when Rashi suggests Yei Munah? Beis Din comes and takes away the cell phone. Beis Din comes and takes it away. That, the Rosh says, we don't do. Because Nascha the Rebbe Abba teaches us that that's Gzela. I, Beis Din sometimes does something that is Gzela, and yet we have rules and psukim that tell us. Gemara in Gittin Alam Mitvah tells us that there are times that Beis Din is allowed to stick their hand in and take. Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker, Gemara is Tur Makoros. But it says a Rosh, that's not ideal. And if there's another approach, we're going to take that other approach, and that's going to be Yechloku. Hence, for the Rosh, Vaday Ramai is not going to be enough based on what the Rosh said above. Now, Rashi, who never started out with that contract, that construct, that he's concerned about Beis Din undoing a Nascha de Rabbi Abba or Muchzakus status, Rashi might be less concerned. But that's why the Rosh brings this up over here. Even though Rashi waits till later on, the Rosh needs to bring it here. Why? Because the Rosh is the ultimate Paisik. And the Rosh needs to do two things. He needs in one simon to be able to put together all of Shas and give you the Halacha Psuka, and at the same time develop a coherent argument that one thing, each step is based on the next. And the second step is to discuss Ani Aragtia once I got through the idea that when you have Muchzakin, so then in such a case you can no longer undo that Muchzakus. And what are you left with? You're left with two Muchzakin, and when you're left with two Muchzakin, Halacha says Yachloku. And Mirtz Hashem, when you become a Lamdan, this is standard reading. Unfortunately, today, people read too fast. And I believe, you see, I believe in covering ground. You see, we're not going to be on Beis Amin Aleph for Blin Eder. We're not going to be on Beis Amin Aleph for another, for more than another week and a half or so, Blin Eder. I believe in covering ground, but at the same time, you have to read carefully, and you have to notice, why did the Rosh say it over here? This is the reason why the Rosh brought it up over here. It's an extension of the above rule. Okay, so that's the machlokes between Rashi and the Rosh. Yes?
According to the Rosh, he's concerned about people losing out. If you do Chalukah, the guy's also losing.
We pointed that out. We point out that for the Rosh, therefore, called Olam Gavar might be even more ideal. So but we're stuck by the phenomenon that once we have a rule of Muchzuk, you can't take it out of the fellow's Rosh.
It doesn't help him to say Chalukah over Munach Hayal. Either way, the guy's losing. Now, if you say one guy, he's losing half, so he's still losing half.
Right.
So
right.
It's better?
Yeah. It's better. It's better than ever taking it out of somebody's rishos. When each one's muchzik on all, they're not being muchzik as owners on all. Each one is alleging all. So then there's room to say yachloku. That's a natural division. Even though it might not accomplish everything that we would want. Let's continue on. When it comes to Shnayim Adukim Bishtar, so the Rosh assumes that one of them is for sure a liar. Didn't we see yesterday somebody in Tosos? The Tosos said that it could be that they paid half. Right? Tosa said yesterday, jot this down in your notes. But Tosa said that it could be that each one of them paid half. So if it's correct that each one of them paid half, so then that's not a Vaday Rama. So the Chura Tosa is disagreeing with the Rosh on this front, and we need to figure out why. Okay? It's something I want you to think about. Okay. You want to give a theory motion?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the claims by Shem in the Star case was that one of them said, I paid you back the whole thing, or the other guy saying that you sold me the whole thing.
Right.
So either way, they're still around. They're still around.
Very good. I had the Patosis. Patosis said that each one could pay back half.
Right, but they're still claiming that he paid me the whole thing and I paid back the whole thing.
So the there's a difference between what's taking place in Tosis. The kasha that I just asked you is not a good kasha. So the difference of what Tosis is being masbir and what the Rosh is being masbir. What's that difference, Izzy?
Because Tosis only cares about whether or not you can split up. It's possible that you can split up.
Right. Tosis is talking about chalukah yichola lios emes. So the chalukah, it is possible in a case of a malve and a love. I'm just saying to what you said, Moshe, but you're 100% right. By a malve and a love, there it's a chalukah sheichol elios emes. In contrast to the case of the ra, what the Rosh is explaining, as Moshe pointed out, each one says the shtar is entirely mine. So that means in their arguments, there's a vaday ramay. Chalukah yichol elios emes means we're objectively in the tfisa. It's possible that each one is entitled to half. That's chaluk yichol lios emes. However, when it comes to the case of the shtar, when each one of them says that he's entitled to all the shtars, then for sure there's a vaday ramnai. Let's continue on in the Rosh. The kach muki bigemara the kamar elamai rabbanan hanami kishar dami. The Gemara, now we're discussing Mana Shlishi. There the Gemara says, what's the difference between the three Manas and the 100 that each one of them is entitled and the 300? Haimai. Yamri b'shem rabbanon hasam vadeh hamanon d'chad minayu. Amri rabbanon yemuna. Hacha d'ikla memer tetavayu palgi b'shvua. Says the Rosh, the rule of thumb according to the Rabbanon is ikla memer tetavayu. How do the Rishonim express that idea? Chalukah yichol lios emes. If it could belong to both of them, then it's enough. V'lo iskir taima de Ramai, and the Rabbanon don't go with the idea of Ramai. Kidekamer Gabi Rabbi Yossi asam vadi ikar Ramai. Rabbi Yossi says that if there's a vadi Ramai, so then you leave everything. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. Hasam vada ikurame hachi ikal meir tarvayu ba'adiyah da digbor. Alma rabbonon kol hecha di ikal meir tarvayu afagav de vadai ikurame palgi b'shvua v'amevin yavin, according to Rashi, maybe he'll say no, even if there's a vadai ramai, the rabbonon agree on that half. U'bechol midi di ikal meir tarvayu kodim shenodim achlukasam bar mimon eshlishi. Now the Rosh is bothered by Akasha. Rush is bothered by Akasha, if that's so. You know, can anybody anticipate? Did anybody read this Rush? What's the Rush bothered by now? What's the follow-up Akasha in the Rush? Rush is bothered by the following question. Yeah, Yisrael?
It's possible also in the Mana Shlishi case that there could have been some type of way where before they had the Machlokas that they were entitled to each 150.
Yeah, but what's the kasha? What's he bothered by? Let's remind ourselves. What's the psak by Mana Shlishi? Yemunachat Shiyavu Aliyah. That's a hint. What's the Rosh's kasha? Yes, Josh.
Why not be Yachloku?
Beautiful. Why would you say Yachloku? Very good. Excellent. Comes along the Rosh, and the Rosh asks like this. Based on my broad criteria, that if you have shnai muchzakun, so then in such a case, halacha is that you say yachloku because you can't, the way we were masbir, is that you can't say kol da'olam gavar. So then the same thing by Mana Shlishi. Notice the Rosh likes Tosas' idea that both of them are muchzakun, despite Josh's good questions. He likes the idea that shneim are muchzakun when it comes to Mana Shlishi. He likes it. But now, once I have the shnai muchzakun, so then in such a case, then in such a case, asks the Rosh, why then is Munachat Shiyavu Aliyah? But back inside, V'bechol midi, d'ikol meir t'vayu, kodem shenodem achlukasan, Bar Miman Shlishi, they called him Shinoda Machlukas and Yadua the Nifgad, Shuhu Shal Echaman. But what's the Rosh's answer? How did the Rosh answer the question? Josh, going for the cycle, go ahead, yeah?
We have
a summit
of the
general
mentioned in
Seder,
but there's a third party.
Go ahead, yeah?
So we have a third party that can testify that it actually didn't belong to both of them. It is a case of time, but that third monad only belongs to one of them, and that one of them is lying. They both don't own 200.
What does that have to do with the Rosh's words? To call them Shinod the Machlukas and Yadu Nifka Shu Shal Echamir? Go ahead, I'm listening.
This third party can testify that the third Mama actually it only belongs to one of them, that his or a mine.
What is the Rosh good? What you're saying is good. Now I'm going to push you a little bit if you really, really understand what you're saying. What is the Rosh then saying? Kodesh anoda machlukasam. What do those words mean? Kodesh anoda machlukasam. Okay, you definitely have the basic idea, but you can't put that idea back into the words. What does the Rosh mean? You want to help your chavrusa out?
Yeah, sure.
We'll see if it's sure. Go ahead.
That before they go to Bezdin, the Mafkid already knew that the 300.
Right, so those are the words. Okay, I'll pick up with you in a second, Max. The words of the Rosh are like this, that we, even before it came, the Shaila came to Bezdin, so the Shomer knew. Reuven said to him, somebody said to him, I'm giving you 100, someone said to him 200, he doesn't remember who. So that means he knows that 150 and 150 split is wrong. So you can't do that. 150 split is wrong. You can't do that split. Why is that relevant, Max?
Because then you can be. How can you possibly be holy on the third mana if you know that it belongs to one guy? Doesn't make any sense. Because what the Rosh is saying.
Wait. I'll hear you out. Once I call on you, then I have to hear you out. But I am entitled to analyze what you're saying. Shnai Moks and Batalis, do we really believe it belongs to both of them? Not according to Rosh. I don't think according to Rosh we really believe it belongs to both.
Like when they have a
I'm talking. Just a second.
We're talking about Manishlishi.
Right, so now, so what's the Rosh saying? Kodim Shinoda Machlukasa. What's the Rosh saying?
What the Rosh is saying is that, what the Rosh has been saying up until here is that in a case of where they're both Musa, they're holy.
Right?
So we're saying that in this case of Manashlishi, they're both Musa, therefore we should be holy. However, in this situation, since the Machid already knew that the 300 belongs to one of them and it can't belong to both of them, you can't do it in an MS. You can't be holy about it in an MS way. Therefore, what he's been saying up until now doesn't make any sense.
Very good. Can you find a line in the Gemara that says that? What is the Rosh based? Is based on something in the Gemara? You already get 100 on this. But can you find for a bonus? Could you find a line in the Gemara that says your point? Truth is, I think I showed you guys that line. When we did in Tosas, Chaluki Yecholu Yosemes, I showed you a line of Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. And this was never on the Maram Mekomos. Let me take what Max is saying and just show you in the Gemara. The Gemara on Daf Gimel Amid Aleph said, Bishlema L'Rabbanan. The Gemara then says, the first word in line is Sheyobo Elio. About 10 lines on top of Gimel Amid Aleph. Hacha Dikla Meimar. That's what Tosis calls a chaluka sheyichol elios emes. That's what Tosis called a chaluka sheyichol elios emes. So, says the Rosh, Max is saying a very nice svara. Max's svara is like this. Says the Rosh, since you have a chaluka sheyichol elios, it needs to be a chaluka sheyichol elios emes. If the nifgad, that means the shomer, knows from the beginning, from the moment that he got the money, that a 150 split is not correct, then that's called the chalukah shein yicholios emes. So says the Rosh, the only time, even when you have muchzakim, that you'll be able to do yachloku is where it's yachol yosemes. Where it's yachol yosemes. The moment it's not yachol yosemes, then you can't do it. Rabosai, why would the Rosh hold, and with this we stop, with a cliffhanger, why would the Rosh hold that it needs to be a chaluk yichol yosemes? Why is that so important according to the Rosh? How would the Rosh, Lanias Daiti, be masbir the Gemara and Gimel Amin Aleph? Remember, he's not Rashi. But how would the Rosh write Rashi on Gimel Amin Aleph? That's question number one. Question number two is, did Tosus learn the same way as the Rosh? Even though Tosus has the exact same shita, ilomdus, yesh lodun, whether Tosus agrees with the Rosh. Without moving, let's continue on five words in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says that this that we hold, just to move for a recorder change, that's the only thing we need to remember.